John chapter 15. And thank you, ladies. We appreciate your music and work so much, and especially Heidi and Missy for that beautiful offertory. Can't remember what the song. I started thinking, what is that song? I think I know it. It's in there somewhere. But we appreciate you sharing that with us this morning. And we appreciate Pat. Yeah. Good, Pat. Just glad to have him here this morning. Okay, John chapter 15, and beginning with verse 7. John 15, 7. Jesus said, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Wow. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I, Jesus, have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time together. Bless the word to our hearts. Speak to our hearts. Help me, Lord, as I share, to speak those things which are true, which would honor you, which would be helpful, which would be that which I need, Lord. I just pray you'll use this time in a special way to be a blessing, to be a help, to be a time of edifying, just whatever we need, Lord, you know. And I thank you so much. You know us better than we could ever know ourselves. And so we commit our way to you. We want to love you, Lord, and honor you, and live for you, knowing that one day we're going to spend eternity with you forever in your glorious presence. So help us prepare for that day. If there be anyone here this morning who's not ready, not prepared for that day, because they've never truly given their life to Jesus Christ, I pray today might be that day for them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God has been speaking to my heart concerning my relationship with him. And I realize it's all about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is. It isn't praying a prayer. It's giving our life to him and letting him work through us and work his will out in us. And so he's just been speaking to me about my relationship. And I say I love him, and I do, but then I ask myself, is it really what it ought to be? Is it a deep, abiding love? I love him, and then I go on my merry way and do the next thing that needs to be done, but I realize I don't have an affectionate, intimate love for him as I should. I mean, I can go weeks and months and years pretending that I do, and then realizing maybe I don't. It's a love in my head, but hasn't traveled to my heart. Sometimes that love for him in our head has a long road ahead to get to the heart, through a lot of trials, a lot of situations, and sometimes God finally gets to our heart. And that's where I want to be. I don't want it just in my head. I want it in my heart. I want him in my heart. And I ask myself, do I have an affectionate love for him, an intimate love? And sometimes I'm missing that oneness, that affection, that true love, that love of a bride for her bridegroom on their wedding day, the love of a friend, a spouse. Okay, so I'm going to talk about loving him. I know, it's Valentine's Day. And you say, well, you're doing that. Usually we're in Peter. In fact, we're supposed to be in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19, 20, and 21, somewhere in there. And that was my plan back on Monday or Tuesday. And then Roberta and I got to talking, and she shared with me a devotional she read that related to John 15. And Ephesians 5, and she says, you know, I read John 15, and I meditated upon it, and it was such a blessing to me. And when she tells me that, I think, I got to have that. I got to have that blessing, because in my Bible reading, it just went in my head, didn't get to my heart. So I, too, read John 15, and I read it again, and I meditated upon some of the verses. I thought, Lord, this is where I need to be. This is what I need. I want to love you because you love me so much, but I don't love you as I ought to love you. So that's why I'm sharing this. And then really a few hours as I thought, you know, maybe this is something I can share if God speaks to my heart. And then it dawned on me, oh, it's Valentine's week too. That's not why I'm sharing this. I want you to know that. I rarely speak on love and Valentine's Day. I just don't. I have a few times, I think, but I don't normally do that. So that's why we're here. It's about love. And I ask myself, do I commune with him through the day? I mean, through the day. Are you like me? You can read your Bible, have your devotions, and pray, and go through the routine on a Monday morning, a Tuesday morning, a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning, hopefully, and Sunday morning. And then go on your merry way and have nary a thought about him for the rest of the day. Till you go to bed and then God wakes you up in the middle of the night and you realize you haven't been praying and thinking about him throughout the day. I can do that. I can do that with the best of you or the worst of you, right? We can go through the motions. Well, I did my devotions. I do my devotions. But in my devotions, was I devoted to him? And I devoted him through the day. And I found in taking that time in John 15, I found myself pausing throughout the day saying, thank you, Lord, for speaking to my heart. Thank you for showing me how much you love me. I need to dwell on him and talk with him as one who dearly, dearly loves me and calls me his friend. And I can't do that till I die to myself. I got to die to Terry Post. And I struggle with that because I love Terry Post. And I pamper him. And I treat him very well. And when Terry Post gets a hangnail, he does everything in his power to take care of it, you know, because it hurts. And that's what he's consuming. I need to die to self so I can be alive to Christ. I look for joy, and it runs from me. It evades me, for my true joy is in him. It's in him. But I look for joy in the wrong places. I do. I know better. I preach differently. But I look for joy in circumstances being what I want them to be. And I try to change my circumstances. And there's no joy there. I want to be content, but I realize contentment is only in him. It's only in him. Have you figured that out yet? It doesn't matter our circumstances. It doesn't matter our sorrows or our pain or hurts or joys. Contentment is only in Jesus Christ. I look for it in the wrong places. Peace and contentment. Jesus Christ longs for me to love him, to put out my hand and let him take my hand, and he will just walk with me, and he'll walk me through this wilderness. I want to be like the puppy dog that puts his paw on the master's knee, kind of signaling, feed me, feed me. And you can't resist when your puppy dog does that, can you? Now, if he's running and barking and scurrying and being annoying, you kick him. But if he puts his paw on your knee, then he gets your attention. That's where we need to be. Put our paw on the knee of the Lord. I read that illustration somewhere. I don't even remember where, but it stuck with me. I need to do that. I need to be sitting at his feet all the time. We need to make it real. Our relationship with Jesus Christ needs to be real. The most important thing in all of our life. Okay? By the way, is everybody comfortable? Okay, you're warm enough? Good? Okay, we're good? Okay, I'm just wondering. I never know. It's cold outside, the heater's going. But, you know, all this, I realize it's so simple. Jesus makes it so simple, but it's so powerful. We just believe him. Believe in him. It's like Dr. Wendell Heller, our old pastor friend who used to come preach for us, who's in his 90s now, I believe, retired, living with his wife, Betty, who I believe has Alzheimer's in southern Florida. He used to say, it's all about having a simple faith and a singular focus. We just have a simple faith. We make it complicated. It's simply reaching out and taking hold of Jesus Christ and realizing when I reach out to him, he takes hold of me. It's Jesus that does the holding, but I have a simple faith, and then I have a singular focus. As Colossians chapter 3, Paul says, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, on where Christ dwells, Colossians 3, 1 to 4. You know, I just want to say, Jesus Christ is my friend. You know, it's like, it hit me this way. He's my friend. He's not my enemy. He's not my foe. He is not against you. He is for you. God is for me, the Bible says. He is my friend, not my foe. He is a fountain running over with blessings and desire to be an intimate friend. Christ wants to be your best friend. He really does. Read John 15. He does. And just opens it up for you. He provides buckets full of blessing. He is with me. He is in me. He is my loving, loving, loving friend. He loves you more than anybody else in all the universe. He loves you with an everlasting love, with a forgiving love. He's always forgiving, 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 healing, healing, healing. After all, he died on the cross to save you. Will he not then be near you until that day you get into his presence? You see, I need to have that love. I need to pour out the love that Christ has for me to him, and to others. It's the love of Jesus Christ going out, that eternal, abundant, holy love, and just pour it out to others. It just overflows and it spills over to others. Everybody. Unsaved and saved alike. Every saved person, every unsaved person ought to see the love of Christ in me. It's a love that overlooks a sin or offense of someone. For love covers a multitude of sin, one of the Proverbs says. Love covers sin. It just goes on. Yeah, I mean, I sin too. I sin too. But love covers it. We practice the kind of love that we'll have for one another in heaven. You know we're all going to love one another in heaven. I hope that's not news to you. We are. We're going to love each other with such an intimate, personal, family love that it'll just be amazing. And you know what? It can just be a smooth transition because we're already practicing that which is God-like, heavenly, Christ-like. And if we live it out now as we are ushered into the presence of God and his joy, it won't be much different than what we're practicing now in our love for God and for others. You know, it's just living it out. You know, that person that I'm angry with, and sometimes, yeah, I get upset or envious of, and I battle that. Envy, covetousness is wicked. And yet it lies deep within my heart. It comes out, and I'm like, why am I doing this? But that one I'm angry with or maybe envious of or bitter towards, In heaven, that one will be my dear, loving fellow servant, worshiping at the same throne of God where I will be bowing. We will be bowing together. And when I think about that and realize that, it can just change my life in how I relate to others, to everyone. When I go into Walmart and the gal or guy is checking me out, I can be thinking, my, they need to know about how much God loves them. How can I show that love? Well, I can show it by not snapping at them and say, boy, you made me wait long enough, and things like that. We say some stupid things, don't we, when we need to realize people are watching us. But they can be my loving friend. Let's bow before him together now. We will be bowing together then. Let's bow together, all of us. We are a family. We are. That's what the church is, a family. And we're to love each other and to bow before him. You know, I got messed up on my notes. I just read you the second last page. So I'm going to back up. Matthew 7. Turn to Matthew 7. I guess God foreordained it. I don't know why. You'll hear all that again in a little bit. Okay. Matthew 7, verse 7. Matthew 7, 7 to 11. Jesus says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is he that is there of you who, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask? Oh, I love the how much more of God. And that's all God has. Much more, much more, much more. And if we know how to give good things to our children, and when our children ask for something good, we love giving it to them. How much more, Heavenly Father? You see, God is like you and me, because we're made in his image. He's like you and me when we do right. Do right and are good to others, kind, benevolent, loving to others. And so if I can be like that, how much more my Heavenly Father? So we just ask him. He's my friend. He loves me, and I love him. Luke 12, 31 and 32, Jesus said, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God and his... seeking the kingdom of God, and all those things shall be added unto you. And then he says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, give alms, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If my treasure is in Jesus Christ, that's where my heart will be. But it's my father's good pleasure. He is pleased. Jesus Christ can't wait to give me the kingdom. He's given me a taste of the kingdom now. We now are heirs of the kingdom of Christ and of God the day we got saved. But then we'll enter into the physical kingdom. So that's where my treasure needs to be. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans. And then I'm going to come back to Matthew. Oh, I shouldn't have told you to keep your place. That's all right. Romans 8:31. I had so many scripture I wanted to turn to, and I can't do it all. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Freely. No charge, no requirement. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died rather than is risen again, who is at the right hand of God and maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he goes on. Nothing, nothing. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:1. God commendeth his love towards us, Romans 5, chapter 8. Now look at Matthew 22. OK, Okay, we'll just bounce around a little bit. Matthew 22. It's kind of unusual because we're not even going to turn to 2 Peter. That's usually where we park. Matthew 22, verse 36. Matthew 2, 36. What a tremendous passage. The Pharisee said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, listen to this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. The first and great. That's it. Number one and the greatest. To what? Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second's like to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. I love God with everything, is what he's saying. Mind, will, emotion, every ounce of my being is to be poured into my relationship with God. Not everybody else. But if I pour it into God, it'll overflow to others like you've never experienced it before. You will just love everybody. And you'll love sinners, those who need Christ. And you'll want to find a way to get them to Christ. No one without Christ, they're never going to be in the presence of God and experience his love. So I love him with everything. And I love my neighbor with the love with which God loves me. And I think about that. I think, Terry, you're not doing that. You're not doing that. Sometimes Terry thinks he's doing good just to get along with someone, right? We got to work at that sometimes. And I forget that they got to work at getting along with me. Terry, you think you got it hard. Look at how hard they got it. They got you to deal with. And that's a handful. Just ask my wife. It's a handful every day. I love my neighbor with the love God loves me. And a love that covers the sin, that covers the hurt. A love that sees my neighbor as accepted by Christ. Or a love that seeks to bring them to Christ. It's loving one another. But I know I don't have the time, I don't have the patience, but that's what we're here for. Our lives are all about others, people. We get caught up in stuff, work, hobbies, bills, making money, just surviving, and we neglect people. And it begins within the body of Christ, and it branches outward. But I don't have time. I don't have the patience. Throw up our hands, and I've done it many times. I'm talking to me here. I'm the guiltiest. People, our lives are about a person, Jesus Christ, and the people of that person, Christians. And you know what? We here this morning should be the most loving people in all the world. There ought not to be anybody that is more loving of God and Jesus Christ and of others than me, than you and me, the most loving. Look at John now. Go back to where we started. Actually, John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Wow. Jesus Christ goes to heaven. Why? To prepare a place for Terry Post. Make it personal. He's preparing it there for me. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I'll receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, the way ye know. You know the way. I made the way. He did it for me. Wow. Then look at verse. And remember, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And it's spelled out here in John 14. Look at 21. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Wow. We show we love him by just doing right, doing what he says to do. And that person's going to be loved by my Father. And Jesus means what he says. You are loved with an everlasting love. And then verse 27, one of my most often quoted verses in the Bible, almost daily, several times daily. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I've gone to prepare a place. I'm taking care of everything. So don't let your heart be troubled. Got a troubled heart? Why? That's what I ask myself on a daily basis. Why? When he's done it all. He's done it all. Look at John 15. John 15, he's the vine, verse 1. I am the true vine, my Father the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That could mean he lifts it up in order to prune it. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it or prunes it that it may be bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. Remain in him always, and I remain in you. I abide in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Nothing. So it's all about, it's simple faith, singular focus. Faith enough to know I can abide in him because I believe his word. Having a singular focus, it's in him. Whatever else, no matter what else happens, it's all about him. Because one day it's just going to be me standing before him at the judgment seat of Christ. And then we'll realize he's the one that mattered. Look at verse 7 now. And this is a letter. It's like Jesus writing a letter to you. And Jesus says, Dear Terry, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Is there spiritual fruit in your life? Is there spiritual growth? Are you growing more Christ-like daily, weekly? I don't know. You look at me, and what do you see? Sometimes a lot of fluff, and a lot of fuzz, and a lot of fizz. And it's not very abiding. Much fruit, verse 8. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. That's amazing. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. As the Father loved me, Jesus Christ, how much does God the Father love the Son? With an eternal, powerful, infinite love from all eternity past. We can't fathom that love. And it's the same love that he gives to you. It's with that same love that Jesus loves me. That Jesus loves me. I love my wife. I love her so much. I would do anything for her. Except make the bed. But other than that, I would do anything for her. We're that way. For my children. My grandchildren. And that's Christ. Christ is for me. Christ is for me. He is for you, and he waits to be loved and adored by that one he loves and calls his friend. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I can do that. Simple faith abides in his love. I can do that. It's not hard. He spells it out for me. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. My joy, he gives me his pure, holy, heavenly joy. He doesn't have to do that. I do not deserve that. It's enough that he would take me into heaven, but to give me joy now and forever. You see, joy began the day you got saved, and it continues right now. Right now, you ought to be experiencing a true peaceful joy no matter what. And if you're not, then things are out of whack in your life spiritually. And I speak from experience. I know that. And we've got to, it isn't like, well, I really had a good time of prayer 3 days ago. No, it's daily, daily washing, daily cleansing, daily coming to Him. But I can do that. But He gives me His pure, holy, heavenly joy. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another. That you love one another as I have loved you. That's the standard. That's a high standard. I'm to love everybody else with that love that Jesus Christ shows to me. His love is very, very forgiving, very kind, very patient. It's everlasting. We should be marked. I need to be marked by my love. Oh, I want to be a good preacher. Yeah, and I'm not. I try. And I think, man, you could have done a lot better than that. You could have worked a lot harder. And there's a lot more in that passage. But it's about love. It's about loving, loving, loving. All through Scripture, the whole plan of redemption is God's love. God loved mankind. Noah and his family, they were spared in the flood because of God's love for him. And then He called him and chose him because He loved him. And on and on and on, the nation of Israel and all the saints of old. So love one another, verse 12. Love one another. It's about one another. The whole ministry is about one another. Relationships, relationship. That's how it is in your family. You don't live an isolated life in your family. You don't tell your kids, don't bother me, don't bother me. I tell you what, I was guilty of that. I look back, I think, if I can do things over, I don't want to go back and do it over. I'd make new mistakes, but, you know, I don't have time. No, you make time, Dad, Mom, because your family is about having the kind of Christ-like relationship with everyone. So love one another. We ought to be marked by our love over every single person. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And I don't even know where that verse is at. You see, I pour out the love that Christ has for me, that eternal, abundant, holy love. I pour it out to others. It's a love that overlooks the sin or offense of others, right? As I said. And it's what again, we're going to be bowing before the Lord all together in heaven. So let's get tuned up now. We need to tune up our instrument, this person, Terry Post, now. And we bow together now. And we covenant with one another. I got to looking at our Constitution. I don't know why, on page 2 of our Constitution, under covenant, a covenant as a body of believers, it says, having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, we do now in the presence of God in this assembly most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. I remember, I believe we read that when we had our charter signing service back in the February of 1983, when we officially organized as a church. And we read that, and we believe that we covenant together as one body. We engage, therefore, as the Holy Spirit shall enable us to walk together in brotherly love. It's been there all the time. And I can do that, to exercise Christian care and watchfulness over one another. The Bible is filled with one another's, one another's. You ought to do a word study of one another. Look up on the computer, Google one another, and you'll get a bunch of verses with one another in it. And so to exercise Christian care and watchfulness over one another, to participate in another's joy, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation, to consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, and to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And it goes on. It goes on. Back in John 15, I'm just going to wrap this up. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this. He just said to love one another as I've loved you. Again, see how rich this is? Take time to meditate upon these things. Maybe God can use this to help us all. It's helping me. And I had a wonderful day when that happened. Then the next day I reverted back to the old Terry again, and I realized that the old self I died to got resurrected again. It's kind of like the dead man keeps coming up out of the grave, and it's like one time we had a, my wife reminded me of this, we had a dog, was that Samson? The mole terrier. Mole terriers are crazy dogs. And we had a fish die. I don't know why. We had a piranha. We had a piranha for a set of goldfish. We had a piranha. One of our kids did. Anyway, it died, so we buried it in the backyard. Well, one day, Samson, our mole terrier, showed up at the door. Or he came in the house, I believe. Came to the door, and he had a dead piranha in his mouth. He dug that thing up and wouldn't bring it in the house. He said, no, you can't bring it. We already got rid of that. Well, that's the way our sin is. It just keeps coming back, coming back, coming back. And I got to die to self. So, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. I love that. I'm not only his child, I'm his friend. I'm his friend. That's such a personal, intimate phrase describing our relationship. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Fruit. Where's the fruit in my life? Where's the fruit? I believe that's talking about spiritual growth, loving others, showing the love of Christ. But I believe it's also reaching out to others and seeing God bring forth fruit from my witness. And I look at myself and say, Terry, how's your witness? It's very poor. It's very poor. What about my desire to help someone grow? To seek out someone to disciple. But I really, you know, I look, there are days I have opportunity to share a tract with someone, and I let it go. And later I think, I could have handed them a gospel tract, and I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I could have said something about the Lord, and I didn't do it. I was too busy, you know, and the circumstances weren't right. Well, sometimes that's true. And we can't hand tracts to everybody, but we could do a lot more than we do. Because Christ wants there to be fruit in our life. I can disciple, I can have a Bible study with someone, but am I looking for someone? I challenge us all to begin praying and seeking out someone to reach for Jesus Christ this year. One person this year, maybe this month, maybe this spring, but surely this year there can be one we can pray about and seek to reach them with the gospel and have a Bible study with them. We have excellent Bible study books that, for discipling. Milk, meat, bread, they're good, very simple. Like the chapters in this, how did I become a Christian? Assurance of salvation, the importance of God's word, how to study the word, prayer, sharing our faith, baptism, believer in the church. And then the next one, book, after you've done that, you can go through Christ, Christology, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, Satan, demons, the second coming. And they're very simple. They're fill in the blank, and you get an answer book. You get an answer book, and you, on a weekly basis or biweekly basis, you can meet with someone in their home. Or even at the church, you could say, how about we come out during the Sunday school time and you and I will have a Bible study during the Sunday school hour. That'd be fine. We can have our class in here, and you can be discipling someone out there with these, or a Sunday night, or whenever. And I challenge myself, because I'm not doing that right now. I was one time, and then we finished, or they didn't want to do it anymore, and that. But where's the fruit? What about my witness, my desire to help someone grow? And this church ministry, we just begin here with our ministry. This church is not an end in itself. It's for the apostles, evangelists, prophets, pastors, teachers. We're given for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, Ephesians 4:12. We're here to teach and encourage that we might go out and then do the work of the ministry. The church is out there. We as a church go out and reach others. And we edify within the body. We're to edify one another, love one another, and that's edifying everybody, even those you don't get along with, right? We can edify one another. And then we evangelize. Edification and evangelism, and I can do that. Well, love one another. I wanted to close, and I won't, but with 1 John 4, 7-10. Well, let's do. Turn there, and we're done. Going to read this, and we're done. Somebody tell me where 1 John is. It's after Peter. I should know that. 1 John 4. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And in this was manifested, revealed, displayed, the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son in the world, that we might live through him. And here is love, not that we love God, but he loved us. And how did he love us? He sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He expiated our sins. The wrath of God was satisfied by his death. That's what propitiation means. And because of that, I can now love. I can love God because he loves me, and I can love others. So let's do it. Let's just do it. But get it to the heart. It's a long way from the brain to the heart. But there's a pathway there, and God will take us there if we'll allow him to do it. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, thank you for this time together in your word. Thank you for the message of love. What an amazing message it is. The love of Jesus Christ for our sin-sick souls. The love of the Father to send his Son in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him would not perish. Oh, I pray that everyone believes in him today, has trusted him, and knows him as Savior. Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray your blessing, and help us just to respond to you where we're seated in our hearts, and whatever you're doing in our lives, may we give it to you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 328.